Thanks for doing your part to financially support your public radio station. Today, I have the pleasure of sharing with you my hard-won wisdom gleaned from decades of European travel. The only thing I enjoy as much as the trip itself is coming home with notebooks filled with tips and tricks to share with other travelers. And it's never been more fun to hit the road. It's a great time to travel. Transportation in Europe is a delight. And when you're traveling these days, there are all sorts of ways that you can get around economically and efficiently. When I was a kid, nobody flew point to point in Europe. Flying was just ridiculously expensive. Now it's been deregulated, and before buying any long train ride, look into flying, because routinely you can fly cheaper than you can take the train or the bus. As far as trains go, Europe is investing in its train system beyond anything I've ever experienced elsewhere in the world. These are bullet trains. I was recently on a train in France. It was smooth. It was silent. There was beautiful pastoral views outside the window. And I noticed the speedometer only illuminated when it exceeded 300 kilometers an hour. That's 180 miles an hour. They were like embarrassed if they were going less than 180 miles an hour. 200 miles an hour, smooth, silent, and bam, you're in Paris. It's amazing how fast these trains are. And they are synchronized. If you're in a remote little community on a fjord in Norway, there'll be four trains a day coming in and four boats coordinated with the arrival of trains going out every day, all right? All over Europe, except in Italy, where the train seems to come in just in time to see the boat pulling out. As far as car or train, if I'm going from big city to big city to big city, I don't want a car. A car is an expensive headache in a big city. You're paying to rent it and you're paying to park it. And you're spending hours getting out of town through all that traffic when you can go from downtown to downtown effortlessly by train. So big city travel, train is better than car. If you're tooling around the countryside, that's where public transportation schedules can be frustrating and you're glad to have your own mobility. If there's a group of you, six people in a station wagon or a minibus is far cheaper than six people buying six train tickets. One or two people go cheaper by train, three or more go cheaper by car. When you're in a big city, commit yourself to public transportation. I think this is really important. Public transit is just good style travel. It gets you out of the traffic jams. It's economic. It'll overall save you time than worrying about driving and so on. A lot of my European friends never get around to learning how to drive. It's not a political or environmental statement. They just, why have a car? Public transit is so good. Another great thing about traveling in Europe is bike rental. I'm not much for big bike trips, you know, between cities, but I love to have a bike in a city when it makes sense. When I'm in Munich, when I'm in Stockholm, when I'm in Amsterdam, when I'm in Copenhagen, I just have a bike. I park it at my hotel and I get around faster than if I had a taxi waiting for me. And all over Europe, cities are becoming more and more bike friendly. When it comes to sleeping, when I'm traveling around the United States on work, I love to have my big modern business class hotel. But I don't travel all the way to Europe to stay in an American style hotel. I mean, think about it, intercontinental, what are they telling you? The same everywhere. Intercontinental, designed for people who deep down inside wish they were not traveling. People who need a paper strap over the toilet promising them nobody has sat here yet. You can get transplanted American niceties, but you're gonna pay American prices plus shipping for them. And I would rather really know where I am. When I'm in Switzerland, I want a Swiss chalet. I want to stay in Walter's Hotel. I'm on the balcony looking out at the avalanches on the north side of the Eiger. The peasants were up in the steep hills cutting hay all day, and they've gathered downstairs in the bar, and they're playing the spoons and yodeling and fighting. And I'm right there watching this thing, part of the scene. It's inexpensive. It's vivid. I know I'm in Switzerland. I like comfort. I like a safe central location. I like a friendly management, but I don't need a lot of the extra bells and whistles that lets a two-star hotel become a four-star hotel. Two stars is good for me. I like a little hotel where I know the man and the woman, Francoise and Stefan, who run the place. It's on a pedestrian-only street, $6 from the Eiffel Tower. There's a market outside the door every morning. It costs $150 for the double. It's got an elevator. It comes with a nice breakfast. It's so French, when I step outside in the morning, I feel like I must have been a poodle in a previous life. A big option is bed and breakfast. Ever since I was a kid, B&B has been a big deal. Now, B&B has this wonderful new option with these crowdsourcing sites, Airbnb and so on. The big choice when you're going to B&B, whether you're doing it in the conventional way by just emailing places and so on, or going to a booking service like Airbnb, Do you want to get to know the family and have a cozy time together? Or are you just looking for an efficient bed with a key that you can come and go? There's no right or wrong, but you should know that because you can tell by the way they advertise, you can tell by the comments, this place is charming, you'll be having tea and cookies and watching TV together, or it's just quiet, comfortable, modern, and cheap, you see. And again, there's no right or wrong. I just love to stay in people's homes. One beautiful thing about staying in a B&B is it's like you have your own temporary local mother. When I'm in Ireland, way on the west coast of Ireland, where they stand on the bluff and they gaze out and they say, ah, the next parish over is Boston. I'm staying with Kathleen Farrell. And she's all excited that Ricky from Seattle is here. And she runs out after me in the morning, where's your umbrella? You call yourself a travel writer, you're in Ireland, you don't have an umbrella, take mine and be back by 9 o'clock because Sean and the band are playing traditional music in the pub. You see, she cares about you. She's excited you're there. She's got a map on her refrigerator of the United States and she's colored in every state from where she's had a visitor. And she says, if you know anybody from Wyoming, they got a free bed right here. A great option for people on a budget and for families is youth hostels. There are thousands of youth hostels in Europe offering amazing deals on beds. In a hostel, you don't pay for the room, you pay for the bed. Sometimes you can have 20 people in a room, sometimes you can have 2 or 4 people in a room. Usually they're institutional kind of places, the modern youth hostels, with institutional sort of industrial strength rooms. You get an instant circle of friends at a youth hostel. You get a kitchen where you can cook for the price of groceries. And I want to remind you, they've taken, a lot of people go, youth hosteling, can we still do this? They took the word youth out of the system. Now it's called Hosteling International. You get a discount on the membership card if you're over 55. So when it comes to hosteling, if you are alive, you are young enough to hostel. All right? I want to talk about eating. And eating is very important in your travels, if you're like me. And you want to get a good value and a good experience, but you don't want to go broke when it comes to going to these restaurants. There are plenty of good ways to get a good value. And what I want to do is not go to the biggest neon sign that begs we speak English and accept Visa cards. I want to find a little hole-in-the-wall place run by somebody who's passionate about feeding locals. What you don't want is to go to the most expensive piece of real estate in town, Piazza Navona in Rome, and look for a big sign in English that says no frozen food. And then they have a printed menu in 5 languages that serves the same clichetic items all year long, regardless of the season. Everything's wrong about that. What I want is to find a handwritten menu that's small, and I want it to be in one language. Because I want it in a place that has low rent. A little hole-in-the-wall place. A mom-and-pop place, just big enough, 10 tables, so that mom can cook and dad can serve or vice versa, right? So it's going to be a family-run, one of these great, great, my favorite formula. And it's small menu because they're just cooking up what they can cook and sell profitably. It's one language because they're targeting locals, not tourists. And it's handwritten because it's shaped by what's in the market this week. You want to eat with the season, and you want to eat locally. One of my passions lately is eating family style. In some cultures, it's just the way you do it. And it's easy. In other cultures, you have to push it a little more. But anywhere in Europe, you can order with your partner and asks for a small plate on the side. You order different things and you share them. A fun thing about ordering family style is you can have an arrangement with your travel partner that we're going to order one high risk and one low risk dish. And at worst, we'll split the edible one. Okay. So also remember, all over Europe, the industrial age market halls, we're getting run down because people are moving out into the suburbs and using the big supermarkets to reinvigorate their traditional market halls, as is the case, I think, around the United States. These old-style iron and glass market halls are now becoming food courts. They still have the merchants selling the produce and the fish area and so on, but that was kind of getting run down, and now I find they're very enthusiastic and full of energy because they've got these little restaurants in there. They're quality restaurants, and if I think about it, every city in Europe now will have what was a rusty old marketplace that's now a very trendy place for lunch. In Florence, the Mercato Centrale is just wonderful. It's the best place to go for lunch, and you got a lot of choices, and you're eating with the locals. From a picnic point of view, you go to those markets, and you put together the healthy ingredients of a picnic, find a nice spot to enjoy that. It's always nutritious. If it's chosen well, it's local style, and that's a very good value for your lunch. That was from a travel skills talk that I love to give. It's filled with tricks for traveling smartly in Europe. In 4 decades on the road, I've already made most of the mistakes, so you don't have to. When you're setting out on a new adventure, you rely on someone who's already taken that journey to tell you what to expect, what wonders you just gotta be sure not to miss, as well as what pitfalls to avoid. That's also why I like to start my days listening to my local public radio station. That's where I know I'll find the reliable, relevant, and intelligent information I need to better understand the issues of the day and to better navigate my way through the day as an engaged citizen. I know that what I learn will enrich my life. It will help me play a meaningful and enlightened role in my community. It also provides me with an antidote to the fear-mongering and downright meanness running rampant in our media landscape today. Every time someone wishes me safe travels, I'm inclined to say, well, you have a safe stay at home, because where I'm going is safer than where you're staying. I miss the Bon Voyage days. That was back before commercial networks turned news into entertainment masquerading as news, back when we weren't so fearful. There's a lot of fear in our society these days, and I find that the people who are most afraid tend to be those who don't get out much. The flip side of fear is understanding, and we gain understanding when we travel. We also gain understanding when we consume quality broadcasting, programming that you enjoy right here on this station. You can be angry at the world, or you can be friends with the world. It depends on what you let shape your outlook and wire your brain. Public radio, like travel, celebrates the diversity in our world. It gives us empathy with the other 96% of humanity. It makes us smarter and, I believe, better citizens. During this special fundraising edition of Travel with Rick Steves, we're asking you to help ensure that this station stays strong. With your gift, you can make a huge difference right now by helping ensure that this one-of-a-kind programming can keep coming to you and everyone in your community day in and day out. Please, we'd love to hear from you right now.